Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
From her seats just below the radio booth at the United Center, Katrina Vlasic has become a friend of the WGN broadcast team. And when analyst Troy Murray revealed he was battling cancer, she decided to become a captain of Team Murray, personally helping produce the equipment, if you will, and offering it free of charge to anyone who wanted to join as long as they shared the support of Troy on social media. Because she knew how much gestures and support can make a difference to those in the battle.
I think it was 2019, my friend Nina came here, and you guys were all up in the booth. She came up the booth, and I remember you guys, like, stood up and clapped for her, and you guys literally made her, as she put it, like, felt like a princess. So that kind of stuck with me, that, you know, from that night, about just how amazing you guys are and Troy is with just, you know, the fans. And so I guess in a way it was me trying to say the fans also appreciate him as much as he appreciates the fans.
That was a great story by our own and WGN-TV's Chris Bowden on a great job done by Katrina, our big season ticket holder, about a great person, Troy Murray, who's on the line with us right now and got to join us in the radio booth last night in his normal stomping grounds. And Troy, we can't say enough how amazing it was to see you yesterday. And I know I said we'd have you on and only talk hockey, so I'll make sure we do that. But
it's all good, Joe. It's all good.
You're our princess now, so.
I appreciate that.
I miss our Saturday nights together. We always, all our weekends spent together. What are you doing on Saturday night? I'm spending it with Troy. Well, I haven't been able to do that this year, but I'm missing him more and more. So thanks for jumping on with us, bud.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You guys are welcome. I mean, I'm feeling a little bit better as of late and getting a little bit more strength. So,
great.
That's a good sign, and certainly enjoyed being a part of the evening last night as a representative. It wasn't about me. It was, as a representative for everybody fighting cancer. And it was great to be back on the air last night on our WGN airwaves and stopped in on the TV side as well. So it was good to see everybody last night.
Well, you jumped right into mid-season form. Apparently you didn't have any butterflies, huh?
Well, John actually asked me a question about the San Jose Sharks goaltending, and at that point, I didn't even know who was starting. I hadn't even had a chance to see who was in net for San Jose, so I kind of had to skirt around that issue and talk a little bit out of context about the goaltending, because I wasn't even sure who was playing at that point.
You fooled us, though. I think it was Nabokov, one of those guys back in the day from San Jose.
Antti Niemi.
Exactly.
That's right.
Niemi.
well, you know, we started the show by mentioning that you were going to be on, but one of the things I've just missed the most is hearing your insight on this team, picking your brain, and we've all missed that. And I want to ask you some questions about this team and what you've noticed in particular. First of all, you have seen some type of improvement. We're all looking for more, but since the coaching change was made, I want to just get your thoughts on how necessary that was with the way this team started, and what Derek King has brought to the table. You played against him, I'm sure, back in your playing days, right?
Yes, I did, and I as a player for all the years I played in the NHL, I went through a lot of coaching changes, and it just seemed like the team at that point was waiting for something to happen, and there was high expectations going into this season. Nobody thought that they would get off to the start that they did, and I think that there was just a lot of frustration being built there, and then you hear a lot about the coaches on the hot seat, and it almost gets to the point where it's unfair to everybody because somebody's waiting for something to happen, and whether it's a big trade or back in the day. So nothing against Jeremy, but I think that for the overall change in attitude that needed to be made, the coaching change was necessary, I think the players talked about it a little bit that they feel the responsibility, and they should feel the responsibility. There was a lot of players underperforming and some players that are still going through the same struggles that they went through with Jeremy offensively. You know, so you really can't pinpoint anything directly and saying that this was, you know, Jeremy Colleton's fault, but it was a change that needed. And I think for, you know, Derek King as a former player, and I think that when he walked in, there was that respect factor. Mark Crawford has been a much bigger piece of the puzzle here, I think, with Derek King, has leaned on him heavily. And I think the players, first and foremost, took the message of Derek King and say, hey, guys, let's just loosen up a little bit here and play some hockey. We all know how to play the game, but I think there was too much thinking going on. And when you start to think the game before you react, the game is just too fast. And if you're thinking about where you need to be positioning, or your mind's not quite 100% into it, you're going to run into some problems. And I think that's what Derek King did. He walked in and said, hey, listen, guys, let's just clear our minds. Let's go out and play some hockey. And I think you've seen some results and some building in the right direction in the way that this team wants to play moving forward.
What about just on the ice? I mean, I know Derek King coming in, I really changed a big mental aspect of this team, but on the ice, what kind of difference have you seen since Derek King has taken over?
Well, on the ice, I think that I just think they're playing a little bit more of a basic system in their own end of the ice. You know, a defenseman staying in front of the net rather than man on man, which sometimes puts it forward in that position. I think that he kind of just put everything down a level, and I think that that's kind of calmed the play of the guys on the ice. So they're still struggling to score goals, but I think defensively they've been better. You know, sometimes when you look at the analytics, they're a little bit get a little bit misdirected in what's going on. But I think at the beginning of the season, they were pretty good as far as like the high scoring chances, the danger scoring errors that they're giving up. I'm not seeing that on a regular basis. They still have work to do, obviously. And maybe one of the biggest changes is the goaltending at the beginning of the season was not very good. Mm-hmm. And in a close game, like you're saying, the St. Louis Blues game, you're down a couple goals early. You need a couple big saves. They got those saves in the last little while here to give yourself an opportunity to stay in the game. Those saves were not being made, and everything just started to snowball. I heard you guys talking about it. The 2-0 went into a 4-0, and the game, you know, the game quickly got out of hand. I think there's a better belief in the way that they can play and how they can overcome adversity. And a lot of that has to do with the way that the goaltending has been performing here as of late.
Yeah, and it's really amazing because over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, we were the Blackhawks' MO to win was to outscore the other team because of all their deficiencies in their own end. Now we're seeing a formula. It's almost been, as Joe mentioned earlier, flipped 180, where they need to grind out games. We mentioned 26 5-on-5 goals in 21 games, and your fellow dude in the 19 jersey, I know he's probably squeezing that stick pretty tight here. And you know, we've also seen Kirby Dacko, 13 games without a goal. Kubalik, nothing but one assist in his last 11. You have to figure at some point the numbers on the back of their card are going to start showing up. But the longer this goes, we talked about it many times during the 4 years we worked together. Sometimes you just need one of those fluke goals in order to kind of open things up. And there's a handful of guys that the Blackhawks are relying on offensively that are waiting for that to happen right now, right?
I thought Taves had a really good opportunity right in front of the net, a bang-bang play from behind that could have easily went in. You know, for Taves, I think that there's, and everybody talks about it because there's so much more involved in Taves' game than just scoring, but you don't want to be in that position where he is right now, not scoring any goals this season. And Kubalik, what, 15 games now, maybe, I think, without a goal. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys have the ability to score goals. And, you know, Kirby Doc, I think there was, you know, higher expectations that he put on himself coming in offensively and getting an opportunity to play in a top offensive role. So they need to figure that out. And it's hard to say what exactly the problem is. A guy like Kubalik all of a sudden could get hot. He's had some opportunities as of late, but you see him, you know, when he doesn't score, you see the body language kind of react. And we saw this with Alex DeBrincat a couple of years ago where he just wasn't scoring goals, and you saw the body language, you know, kind of reflecting that. And you're getting that in the body language. And I know that, you know, players say, well, you know, I don't want to get frustrated, but you can just see it. you know, when, you know, Taves doesn't score the goal the other night, you know, his stick goes onto his knees, and that just body language says, you know, that frustration there for Kubalik. I saw him look up a couple times, and, you know, he couldn't believe that he didn't score a goal. You know, those things change pretty quickly. But, for you know, for this team, I think one of the things that they wanted to do first and foremost under Derek King was to shore up the defensive play. And I think that they've done that in a large way, that the, they're taking less chances, making the smart plays, putting pucks in, getting pucks out. It may not be the prettiest and the, you know, the best way to play to get results, but when your team is struggling to score goals, you know, you need to have a way that you can be successful. And I think they've bought into that. And hopefully the way that they play better defensively will give them more opportunities to play better offensively. And I think the one thing that they can do, and this is stuff that, you know, we've always talked about is, you know, going back to when I was playing, is you simplify it, you know, get pucks to the net, get traffic to the front of the net, and good things happen. You look at a guy like Hagel this year, a lot of his goals haven't been pretty, but he goes to the front of the net and he gets those redirects. You know, Kubalik was doing that on a pretty regular basis the first couple of seasons. We'd just like to see those guys, you know, hang around the front of the net a little bit more. And the one thing that I have noticed in the offensive zone is when they have a shooting lane, there's been some hesitation in getting pucks to the net. And it's just a split-second hesitation that allows somebody to get into the shooting lane. And if those shots get blocked, then you take everybody out of the equation because those pucks need to get through. It's easier said than done sometimes. But I think if there's a mental purpose in everybody's mind that once we get in the offensive zone, it's, you know, if we get it down low, it goes up to the point. It's, you know, one side to the other shot before they can get people into the shooting lanes and then create havoc in front of the net. And then once you build that confidence, then you can start making some plays that, you know, you would expect to see out of some of the guys that are going through some offensive droughts.
That is the analysis we have been missing so much. Troy, I know we said we were going to keep it squared away with hockey, but I'm going to ask a question I know everyone's been wondering. How's your pet lizard doing?
Oh, he's doing good. I'm unfortunately not allowed to drive. So I haven't been able to get him his favorite food, which is crickets. So when I go down there and I'm feeding him his lettuce, he's not happy with me. He wants to see some meat in his diet, and he's just not getting it right now. He's become a vegetarian.
And Connie's not going cricket shopping for you either? Boy, oh boy.
Connie is not going cricket shopping, but he's actually been really good, and I've leaned on him heavily for support.
Don't lean too hard. You might squash him.
Oh, man. Well, this has been great, buddy. It's just been great talking hockey with you, and it was wonderful to see you. And yeah, I saw you in person for the first time since all this came down, and it lifted our spirits. I hope everyone was able to lift your spirits a lot last night, because everyone loves seeing you, and I hope the roar of the crowd, I'm sure it did a whole lot of good. And we're all constantly thinking about you. We love you, and again, can't wait to get you back in that booth again to break things down like you just did with us here a few minutes ago.
Well, I appreciate that, Chris and Joe. It's good to see you. You guys are, you know, Joe, you're doing a fantastic job on the broadcast. And Chris, you know, love
hey,
you.
Wait a minute here. Wait a minute here.
On the game broadcast.
Okay.
Not this one.
Okay. All right. We're both scuffling on this one. You're bailing us out again.
You know, last night was very emotional. And, you know, it was overwhelming at some times, but you know, just to be able to get up into the booth really kind of calmed everything down for me, and I really, you know, enjoyed being in the booth. Kaylee was there, and of course John on the call. It was tremendous, and I miss everybody back at the station. It's just, you know, it's become a big part of my extended family. The, you know, the WGN crew, and just dealing with everybody, and I miss everybody, and I want to thank that, you know, Rocky and Danny and Jamie Faulkner for, you know, allowing me to be a part of that ceremony last night, because it meant a lot. But, you know, again, it wasn't about me. It was representing everybody in the fight with cancer. And my goodness, you know, when you end up being involved in that fight, you just realize how many people it affects and how many people are in the same boat that I am, and it's not fun to be in, but when you have great support, it certainly means a lot and helps a lot.
Well, you're a fantastic spokesman, even for if it's for the wrong reason. And Troy, I know you don't like the spotlight being on you, but it is for a good reason right now, and that's because of who you are as a person and how you've treated so many people here. And, you know, we really do appreciate you carving out some time for us tonight. I know you got a good nap in, so I appreciate you using your time management well to benefit us.
Yeah, yesterday took a lot out of me, and I needed to lie down. And you know, my body tells me a lot of times that I need rest. So when it does, it doesn't matter what time of day it is, I just go in and put my head down and crash.
It's a great philosophy. Thanks for jumping on with us, bud, and look to talk to you again soon. All right.
Thanks so much, Troy.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's the great Troy Murray. Gosh, was that good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just takes the ball and runs with it. So sometimes those 90-minute post-game shows I used to do, he softened it. You know, he can just fill up the time, and all of it is good, too. Great, wonderful insight, and it's just good to hear him break things down once again.